Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2, a verse that we often read about because, you know, it gives us a glimpse into our past and God's Word. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2 says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, He has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, in whom He's appointed heir of all things, to whom also He made the worlds. God has always spoke. He's always been heard. He's always communicated through man. He didn't have to etch it on the mountains. He didn't have to do all this. But He did bring His Word divinely to the world through men, through the speaking, didn't He? Even today, we look at Romans 10:4. You know, jumping ahead to today and the way that the Word is spread today. Look at Romans 10, verse 4. Verse that we often use about the preacher. It might be 4:10. But he warns us and tells us, somebody else may know that off the top of their heart, that the gospel spread through the teaching. How can they hear unless it's 10:14? 10:14, okay. It says, how then shall they call on Him and who they've not believed, and how shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? But the point's made, God has always chose man to give us His Word through. We often talked about the patriarchs of the old time. I can't imagine what it was like in Adam's time when, before sin had entered the world and where God's presence was there. I can't imagine what that would be like. Walked with Adam, Genesis 3. We know in Genesis 6:9 that Noah was a man of God, and that God walked with him, or Genesis 6, verse 9. This genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. We see the closeness. We see how God worked with these patriarchs, how His Word, His law was handled through them. Exodus 33. through 17. So we see that the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. We see these times, we won't read all of that, but the scripture goes on through 17, of how the Lord spoke with Moses, how in those times, those patriarchal times, He handed down His Word through man. I enjoyed being reminded about Enoch in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 21. Says Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and his sons and his daughters. Verse 24, it says, and Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. We see that special relationship, that closeness that God used to bring His Word. Abraham, of course, in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And we go on with this promise to Abraham. But we see how this law, how these things were handed down by God through these patriarchs. Probably the most common that we're aware of is the what we receive through the prophets, and we often look at 2 Peter for that, 1:21. says, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So we know that God divulged through His prophets. He spoke. He was heard from the beginning of time all the way through the Old Testament. He spoke through His patriarchs. He spoke through His prophets. He always gave instruction. Man was never without it. All men have been under the law of God. Oftentimes, you talk to people and they don't realize, they think that the Mosaic law was the first time God had law upon man. But man has always been subject to God. God has always had law upon man. The patriarchal times, sure, the Jewish law came into effect. Of course, that was a law for a specific specific people during a specific time. That other law of God was still in effect. And then we see, of course, the new covenant that comes along later. So man's never been without instruction. God's never left him not knowing, lost, fumbling around for what to do. God's always had instruction and guidance for man. What determined how things worked out, or what hinged on the effect of God's instruction, was how man heard or listened or yielded to it, because it was always there. I think Israel is a perfect example, and we look at it all the time. I'm thankful that God documented for us so much of their history and what they went through, because we can learn so much for it. But it's a perfect example of how God's instruction guided man and gave man choice. He could obey or he could disobey. Let's go to Deuteronomy 28. It's interesting, 28:1-28, you have these promised blessings that Israel had if they would but obey God. He laid out so much. In verse 15 of chapter 28, God reveals these promised curses for their disobedience. So not only did God give instruction, God made it very clear to them. You obey, you'll be blessed like this. You disobey, you'll be cursed like this. There was no question about that. And if you back up to chapter 27 and take in verse 15 through 26, you have a whole lot of scripture here that makes it very clear that obedience will be rewarded, blessings will come with it. Disobedience will bring curses, devastation will come with it. He made that as clear as he could to them. It seems so simple, don't it? It seems so cut and dry. And if you look at that, there's about 12 verses, not exactly, I'm just estimating, but there's about 12 verses in those scriptures that we just looked at, Deuteronomy 28 and chapter 27 and those few verses there. 12 verses are put there regarding their obedience. 65 verses pertain to what would happen to them with disobedience. And that's huge. The scale is way balanced toward His warning to them. If you disobey, destruction is going to come upon you. He made it so clear. It's hard to see how that couldn't be heard or couldn't be understood. What it is, man just simply chose, as Israel did, to not heed or not hear Him. God was speaking. God was not silent. Man just chose not to hear. A good example of that came to my mind. Look in Daniel. I think it's chapter, I wrote it down here somewhere. Yeah, chapter 9. a good example here, and we'll use Daniel some more here in a minute, but a good example of some who listened and some who didn't. We know the history of Daniel. We know the background. And he says here, speaking of his understanding of the situation of captivity and what was going on, Daniel had a clear picture of what was happening. He understood. He knew what was going on because Daniel listened. But he also notes that many did not listen. Let's just read a few verses there from chapter 9. Let's just read those first six verses. It says, "In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in desolations of Jerusalem." We see there he understood from Jeremiah's prophecy what was going on with them and how long. He says in verse 3, "Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God, and I made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps His covenant and mercy with those who love Him and with those who keep His commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from Your precepts and Your judgments. Neither have we heeded Your servants, the prophets, who spoke in Your name to our kings and princes, to our fathers and all the people of land." He pointed out here, he understood what they were experiencing from Jeremiah the prophet. But he also mentions in 6 that the people had not heeded those prophets. Those prophets that gave them prophecy of what was going on, even though they may not understand it, they could have been like Daniel and understood it as well. But we see some who didn't heed, who didn't hear what God had to say about it. I often think about when you go to the New Testament in Romans, a lot of people have discussions on, or the excuse that they use of the pygmies that never hear of God, you know, are they lost? You know, you go into these arguments or these discussions with people all the time. But in this scripture in Romans, the first chapter, Paul sets forth right there about the Gentiles and the Jews and their guilt. And he mentions in 21 through 28 of chapter 1, Romans, says, "Because although they knew God, they didn't glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Back up to 20. So since the creation of the world, His attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We see in verse 18 the suppression of the truth in the unrighteousness. God's shown us these things, we're told. And He goes on to explain in those verses of what happens to those. But that's Jew and Gentile both who chose to not heed, to not hear. It wasn't because of an absence of anything. It's because they simply refused to hear. As the Old Testament closes and we approach that abyss or that silence, we've seen the northern kingdom that came into that fell into captivity. We see them gone. We see the southern kingdom who's went into captivity and returned. We see the things that are going on in the time of Malachi. And we see them falling into you can almost describe it as near apostasy as far as God was concerned. And they're entering in to these times. In your study, when you look at Malachi, the things that help wrap your head around this silence was Malachi finishes the Old Testament by giving the prophecy of that coming prophet. We can look at, let's just go to Malachi and we'll spend the rest of our time there. Malachi 3:1 says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." That's telling them what is to come. This is Malachi right before the Old Testament ends. He says, a messenger is coming. He's going to prepare the way before me. That's the last thing we hear. Even over into chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." So we see the Old Testament close out in Malachi saying, I send a messenger that comes before the Lord. I send the prophet before who's going to come. We flip over to the New Testament in Matthew 3:3. The next thing we hear from God is through John the Baptist, the one who came before the messenger, the one who came before the Lord. And what does he tell us 400 years after Malachi finishes his writing on the banks of the Jordan River? Prepare the way for the Lord. That bridged our silence. That bridged our silence. That tied everything together. We picked up in the New Testament with the birth of Christ, the Lord who comes, starting off with the messenger who led the way before him. So it sets the stage for this time of silence. Galatians 4:4 alludes to it. "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born of the law." God was speaking through the Old Testament. Man was not listening. The fullness of God had to come. There was 400 years and the fullness of God came. We see how those times tied together. God did maintain, as far as giving us divine revelation, he did maintain silence for 100 years, it seems, but there was still a remnant who heard, a remnant that was listening. God has played out his plan. We got to remember, some people look at this division, some people look at this 400 years of silence as a break in the game. Absolutely not. We may have not had divine revelation from God, but his plan of salvation, if you'll remember, started before time began, and it played out uninterrupted until it was fulfilled. So there was never an interruption of God. There was never an interruption of God's will being played out. There was powers that were in place during this time that ruled and served at the bidding of God, and that were prophesied by Daniel. So God filled in a lot of the blanks for us. There's a lot that's there, some that's not there. But silence didn't mean God wasn't working his providence. 1 Peter 1:19-21. It says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, he indeed was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifested in these last times to you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God." That's that plan God was playing out. He was bringing all this to fruition. Ephesians 3:9-11. "And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God may be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he has accomplished in Jesus Christ." this eternal purpose, this working that was always in place, was played out even in this time. It was no different in the time of 400 years. It was still all being played out. God's Word even documents a lot of things of that 400 years. You say, well, there was nothing written about it. Well, maybe not. But when you consider of what Daniel prophesied of, when you take in consideration the kings and the kingdoms that were serving during that time, some of which Daniel prophesied of, the influences that those powers had upon the Israelites, the forming of his children and his chosen people, still getting ready to bring Christ into the world. He was still doing that. When you consider all that, and the fact that he's still playing out his providence, we see that he gave us a lot. The way I look at it is, when you look at the Old Testament and how it finishes, you see the prophecies, you see the predictions, you see the fulfillment when it starts. But also when the New Testament starts, so many things come in that weren't in the Old Testament. And sometimes that raises questions when we get into our study. Synagogues, where did those come from? We see them in the New Testament. We don't hear of them in the Old Testament. The sects, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. We hear talk of God giving us of the Hellenists. So many things that come into existence in this New Testament that we didn't know about in the Old Testament. So what God is doing for us is he is documenting the changes that took place in that 400 years. He's telling us what's here now and what's there and what wasn't before. He's documenting those things. This quarter, Lord willing, let's spend this quarter looking back in detail of how the Israelite nation, the history of it, God's playing out of this plan, his prophecy that he gave, all these things that led up to this transition period between the Old and the New Testament. The picking up in the New Testament of these things that we didn't hear about in the Old Testament that weren't there. But we see them in the New Testament. God documented those for a reason. But now when we go back and look, because the lack of God's divine revelation during those 400 years, we may look at some history that man has recorded, but we always have to put it in its perspective when we do that. It's not perfect. It's not God's divine word. God documented the changes that happened. He didn't necessarily document how they came about. But he did bring to our attention that now these things are in place in the New Testament. And he documented that they were not in place in the Old Testament. Let's just look at some of those things and study about them and see what we can come up with on them. That's the plans anyway. Next lesson, hopefully, we can take some time and start reviewing Israel's journey. Israel's journey that brought in these prophets that started beginning to help us. And it was revealing God's Word to us. God was talking to us through them as we came up to these times, these latter times that were coming in these latter days. So for next week, I guess just we'll study some about Israel and their walk with God. Is there any questions, anything you need to add? I'll be the first to admit I'm dependent on material on some of this stuff. I've went through it. I've done the best that I can do. I know God's Word. That's what we need to know. All this other. Not sure. Yeah.
What's the difference of a temple and a synagogue?
Well, that's what we're going to cover, is how they came into existence and why a synagogue came into existence. Because we know originally, we had a tabernacle. The Jewish people had a tabernacle, which was movable. Later, a temple. came into place, and that was the place for their sacrifices and all their stuff. So we're going to take the time and go in to the powers that were in place at that time, what they were under, the environment that they were in when these things took place. We'll look at that. Anything else?